from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The final hour of the Rob Brown Show is live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, with you here on a lovely upstate Tuesday morning. We have been talking a ton of college football so far this morning. We've got some more NFL to go. Get into a little bit of Atlanta Braves baseball coming up here in just a few minutes from now as the Bravos set for a three-gamer against the Philadelphia Phillies, the NL East leading Philadelphia Phillies, who currently sit on a 7-game lead over the Atlanta Braves right now, obviously up against each other. That means every game is worth a full game in the standings, meaning the Braves could bring that lead down to as small as 3 games by the end of this series if they were to pull off the sweep. I do not doubt it. Or do not believe that that will happen. But we'll talk some Braves ball later on in the show. But we've got a lot more to get into. We started this in the last segment, got a little carried away setting you up for football season with all the incredible programming we've got lined up for you during the football season over the next few months, as we have 0 more Saturdays to go through. If I had a dime for every Saturday without football the rest of the year, Lonzo, I would have...
Zero dimes!
You wouldn't
have any dimes, no.
Zero dimes. Because this Saturday, we get football kicked off. Florida State, Georgia Tech in Dublin, Ireland will be game number one. And then it is on. Football season is here, my dude. So... let's keep going through that discussion. Lonzo and I discussed a little bit of Big Ten football earlier in the show. Now, taking a look at schools with the most difficult schedules that they have got to deal with so far this year. We opened up against Florida. Florida hasn't won more than 6 games in the last 2 years, the first 2 years of the Billy Napier regime. Napier, of course, came over from Louisiana, where he was in the Sun Belt Conference. Florida thought with all the success he had there, there would be a translation. There has not been, and it's about to get worse because, as we mentioned in the last segment, the Florida Gators, 7 of their 12 regular season games are against teams that are starting the year inside of the AP preseason top 20. I went through the schedule and I gave you 5 wins. That includes 3 games that I think are at the best toss-up games that Florida could win. Not will win, could win. And if that is the case, I don't see a path to 7. This team might be fighting for bowl eligibility, but let us keep going, shall we? Let's flip over and continue going down some of the most difficult regular season schedules out there. Next up on the list, how about the UCLA Bruins? Now, it is not quite as tough as the schedule in play for the Florida Gators, but it ain't a whole hell of a lot easier for the first year in the Big Ten for UCLA. They get Hawaii and Indiana out of the gate. But how about this 3-game stretch in weeks 3, 4, and 5? September 21st, this team is on the road in Baton Rouge to take on the LSU Tigers. They run it around the next weekend, the 28th, when they head back to Cal to take on the Oregon Ducks, ranked number 3. And then they've got to go for the very first time as members of the Big Ten out to Happy Valley to visit the Nittany Lions. And if I recall correctly, and I'm just now thinking about this, isn't this the game that they selected as the whiteout game? No, that's Washington. Okay, I was going to say, if UCLA's got to go LSU, Oregon, and then whiteout game at Penn State, that's going to be rough, but they do not. They avoid the whiteout. They come back Minnesota at Rutgers at Nebraska, then versus top 25 Iowa at Washington, back home for USC, and they wrap it up with Fresno State. The first half of that season is almost as tough as the last half of Florida season. That 3-game stretch is a murderer's row for UCLA. Welcome to the Big Ten, my dudes. Good luck with that. Here's another team that I think has got a bit of a tough schedule ahead of them. Another team that basically the end of the schedule is what's going to get them. Lonzo, the Colorado Buffaloes, Coach Prime, has got a schedule ahead of him that, relative to where the Buffaloes are coming off of last year, ain't pretty. And
I don't think he didn't notice that you used the word bolster several times during this program today. He's aware.
What's that word mean? What's that word mean? Come on, Dion. Come on, guy. Be better. We all want you to be better. They open on August 29th, just 9 days away from the start of the Buffalo season. And here's the fun thing, great one. They've got North Dakota State coming to the house. The Bison are coming to the house. The Bison are a dangerous, dangerous team. This is a team that is absolutely capable of pulling this upset. This is a team that last year lost 3 games in total. This is a team that last year played in the FCS championship at the semifinal level and took the Montana Grizzlies to a double overtime before they were ultimately knocked out. This is a good North Dakota State Bison program. And if Prime and the boys aren't ready, aren't clicking, if they are distracted by other people's vocabularies in the offseason a little too much, North Dakota State can pull this upset. And do not be shocked if they do. I'm putting you on notice right now. The Buffs on August 29th at 8 p.m. out there in Boulder, Colorado, Lonzo, they are on upset alert out of the gate.
Is it really an upset, though?
I mean, that's a Power 5 team dropping to an FCS team. I think that's almost always an upset.
Okay. I mean, I just don't think it would be surprising. If it's not surprising, it's not really. I don't know.
We'll find out. That's August 29th. Then they're at Nebraska. I'm not saying I'm putting him up there yet, but Matt Rhule was a pretty damn good college football coach before he went to the NFL and failed miserably. Matt Rhule was a pretty good college football coach before he decided to take on the NFL experiment. Matt Rhule was a guy that has been a couple of places and had massive turnarounds. I'm not saying that happens this year for the Huskers. I'm saying the Huskers are going to be a better team this year. I'm saying the Huskers are going to be a dangerous team this year. I'm saying the Huskers are a team you're going to want to look out for because there are some upsets a-brewing at the hands of the Shuckers, and this is one of them. I could see Colorado going out to Lincoln, Nebraska, and going 0-2 to start the season. Then they're at Colorado State. You don't think the Rams want a little revenge from what happened last year? Baylor and at UCF. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this team could start 0-5. I'm not done. 0-6 because Kansas State's coming to the house. The Wildcats are going to be good. 0-7 because they got to go to Arizona State. Arizona. The other Wildcats are going to be good. Cincinnati at Texas Tech, and they wrap it up with Cam Rising in Utah, the Kansas Jayhawks, and Mike Gundy's Boomer Oklahoma State Cowboys at the in their rivalry weekend game. Lonzo, I don't even think I'm making a hot take when I tell you I think Colorado could legitimately go 2-10 this year.
Which is not unusual. That's what happened 2 years ago, right? And then Prime was able to double that winning. Didn't he win?
He was.
Yeah.
To 4-8 last year. Definitely a step in the right direction. I think they go back a step in the wrong direction this year.
That is for sure a very tough schedule. I don't think they're going to be that bad, though.
I think, just speculation, the off-season drama between the kids in the portal, Dion and his boys giving them hell, the article written a couple of weeks ago that set Dion off, and now the fact that he's all up in the grill of the local media, and apparently that was not an isolated event. It's just the first one that got the big coverage. I wouldn't be not shocked if there is so much disappointment, so much distraction with this team that they get a little lost in the sauce and it ultimately ends up hurting them. I would not be shocked if Colorado takes when I say step back, I'm talking like give a couple of games back, looking at 2-10, maybe 3-9 when it's all said and done. We'll find out. How about another one? This one is one that, you know, I think a lot of people are giving them a bit of a pass because of who they are. I think a lot of people are giving them a bit of a pass because of the talent level, because of the stature of this program, because of where this program is. But what about the Georgia Bulldogs? They are the only team in the SEC that has road games against three of the top four favorites to win the conference. The 28th of September, they got to visit Alabama ahead of their rivalry game against Auburn a week later. Then they go to Texas for the first time since 1958, and a week after playing Florida in Jacksonville. And yes, Georgia's going to be a big favorite. Georgia should win that game going away. But the world's largest outdoor cocktail party is a rivalry game. That is a game that has a lot of discussion around it. A week after they play Florida, they've got Mississippi State, and then they host Tennessee on the 16th. And oh, by the way, in case that schedule wasn't enough for you, let's not forget they open the season against Clemson, against Los Tigres in the ATL. a neutral site game. Again, unless Clemson just does something special, this is going to be a home field advantage for the Georgia Bulldogs. But while all these folks have been talking about who's got the toughest schedule, who's got the toughest path, who's going to have the hardest road to make it to the college football playoff, nobody is saying Georgia, because Georgia's Georgia, and that's commendable. That's understandable. Georgia's got a tough schedule this year, my guys. Georgia's got a very tough schedule. If Georgia doesn't make, with all the changes that they have had, with Carson Beck at quarterback, a guy that I think can be okay, but I do not believe in as a top quality quarterback. If Georgia's not careful out of the gate, the Dogs have a number of spots on this schedule that they could oops-a-daisy drop one. Remember, the Gamecocks went to Athens last year in a bit of a trap game scenario, and for a hot minute there, were beating the Georgia Bulldogs until Juice Wells got quote-unquote hurt. Man, I'm looking at Georgia's schedule right now. It is no breeze, man. Clemson, then you got the tune-up games against Tennessee Tech and at Kentucky. Then you're at Alabama, back home for Auburn, big rivalry game. Mississippi State at home, at Texas, Jacksonville for the Florida game, at Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. I don't know how many of y'all believe in Lane Kiffin. I love Joey Freshwater. He cracks me up, but I kind of have him in that category of coaches that I'll believe can do it once they do it, right? He's not there yet. Not going to be an easy matchup. The Grove will be alive.
You're not convincing me here. So name a game in all the games that you've named so far for Georgia that they're not going to be favored.
Oh, they'll be favored in every game. But the war of attrition is no joke. There's nobody in America. You could stick them in any kind. You could have them play the AP top 12 in order weeks 1 to 12, and they would still be favored in every game. But how many heavy favorites at number one have we seen not finish the season undefeated? The question is not, are they favored or are they dogs in any game? It's when you've got a stretch, including three of the top four teams in the SEC outside of yourself being road games in Alabama, Texas, and Ole Miss, and you've got two extra rivalry games in Auburn and Florida, and you've got a Clemson team right out of the gate that's looking to prove themselves, the question is not who are they going to be a dog to, because the answer is nobody. The question, Lonzo, is who can upset them if they have a bad day? And the answer to me is literally any of the teams that I just named. Any of them could be the upset game.
Not buying it. I'm not. I think out of all of them, Clemson's got the best shot because it's the very first game.
Alabama at home is remarkably dangerous.
You can't convince me that Alabama's going to be good without Saban. You just can't until I see it.
But when we get to week 7 and this team is 7-0 and dusting fools, I just need you to acknowledge that I know ball. That's all I need.
I will throw up my one when that happens.
One's up. All right, we got to run to a break. We come back, got a couple of segments left. All right, there's some of the tougher schedules that are out there across the college football landscape. Let's talk some NFL when we come back on the show. Get to some of the news and notes coming out of the league. We'll do that next. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, is on the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate, Rob and Lonzo and you. Join the show. You can text us 71307, 71307. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. Fan, F-A-N. We will read them on the air. You can also X, post, threads, tweet me, whatever. At the Rob Brown Show, at the Rob Brown Show. If you want to come at us in that direction, you can get Lonzo at Lonzo on Word, and you can hit everybody up in the station at the Fan Upstate, at the Fan Upstate. Texture says, remember the construction team you stopped work on a couple weeks ago for water cooler cheat sheet? Guess what we're working on now? Does that ring a bell to you, Lonzo? Texter, I need some help here. You remember the construction team you stopped work on a couple weeks ago for water cooler cheat sheet? Guess what we're working on now? I'm missing you, Texter. I'm missing you. Fire back. If you're still listening, hit me with another text, 71307. Let me know what that's about, because obviously I have to know now. And it's all I'll think about for the rest of the damn day if you don't get back at me, Texter. So let me know what you're talking about so I can get to that. All right, let's get some NFL news and notes, as we got a bunch of headlines that have been coming out the last couple of days. We'll start with this one, as it directly impacts the Carolina Panthers. Lonzo, the Buffalo Bills, the opponents for the Panthers this weekend, have said that they will not play their starters for the final preseason game, which makes sense. They've got a bunch of injuries going on. Sean McDermott said, quote, "So initially the plan was to play the ones this week. Because of the injuries and lack of availability, we're going to take the ones out, play the other guys, take a good look at them. It should be a good opportunity for them to put their best foot forward and for us to have a strong evaluation of that part of the roster. The Bills have several injuries at key positions. They're hurt at safety, wide receiver. Mitchell Trubisky, the backup quarterback, is down. Josh Allen not going to go in this one. So with all the injuries, and with Buffalo now confirming that they will not run out the starters, the ones, this week against the Cats, Lonzo, I will join you on the wagon that we have to see Bryce Young this weekend.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. And even though he might look great against, you know, the guys trying to make the team, who cares? We get a sight of him out there in the Canales offense and see what it looks like a little.
Yeah.
And then there's a week off between preseason and regular season, and then the thing gets kicked off, and the momentum, at least from a fan standpoint, like, oh, well, that looked pretty good. I can't wait.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at. I'm kind of at the point now where I am fine with taking time. As Lonzo's favorite song says, All you need is just a little patience.
I can take you completely off the air. You know that, right?
I mean, you can, but who's going to get more in trouble for that, me or you?
Well, your technical difficulties that you're having broadcasting from home, of course.
I'm not having any technical difficulties at all. None at all. I'm having technical difficulties the way all those Russian diplomats have health problems. I'm good. I swear.
I don't know if that's the comparison I would have used, but okay.
I mean, tell me it didn't make perfect sense.
I think we all got it, but still, a little extreme.
Tyreek Hill has officially laid down the challenge to U.S. Olympic gold medalist Noah Lyles, except it's not a 100-meter dash. Tyreek wants to run a 50-yard dash against Noah Lyles. He sent out a tweet that said, sign the contract and lock in that 50-yard race. The back and forth between the two athletes began when Hill, generally viewed as the fastest player in the NFL, said he believes he could beat Lyles in a race. Lyles, of course, would then go on to win the gold medal in the 100-meter dash at the Paris Olympics, seizing the unofficial title of fastest man in the world. Tyreek said a week later, quote, I would beat Noah Lyles. I wouldn't beat him by a lot, but I would beat Noah Lyles. He went on to say, come on, bruh, just speak on what you know about, and that's track. I would beat Noah Lyles in a race. He also questioned whether Lyles was really sick when he won the bronze in the 200-meter race after testing positive for COVID. The sprinter later withdrew from the 4x100-meter relay due to his illness. When asked about Hill's remarks on the Nightcap podcast, Lyles said the outspoken NFL star is, quote, just chasing clout, end quote, and challenged him to back up the bold assertion. Noah Lyles was on the Clutch Points pod alongside Shannon Sharp and said, quote, if he's serious about it, not just talking on the internet, if you're serious about it, you'll see me on the track, end quote. Lonzo, I don't know why it is that an aging NFL wide receiver challenging the Olympics world's fastest man to a 50-yard sprint competition has me on the edge of my seat, but I want this to happen so bad, dude.
I don't know if you knew this, Rob, because this is like this in a lot of places on the earth. This is a work, man. This is a work. You're building up all this, and then it's going to happen. Hopefully, they'll do it for charity. Hopefully, they will charge. Would you watch this on pay-per-view?
Depends on the cost. I mean, we are technically talking about a...
Let's go with 20 bucks.
2-second race.
20 bucks.
I'd probably scrap together 20 bucks for it. You know what I'd like to see them do? I'd like to see them make it the centerpiece of like Olympians versus NFL challenge. Like, what was the...
Battle of the Network Stars.
You remember Pros versus Joes back
in the day? Yeah, I do.
Make it a Pros versus Joes scenario. Like, take a handful of NFL athletes and make them do Olympic events, but also take a handful of Olympic athletes and have them, like, run routes against DBs and stuff. Let's make it a Pros versus Pros event and see what happens and just make this race like the main event of the evening kind of set up.
I'd rather, probably if there would have to be other events, but I think they should do a run, rich run type thing, like what Rich Eisen does, and, you know, raise some money for charity.
I'd come up if it was just the race, right? If it was like a 15-minute broadcast that ended with a 4.67-second race, I'd give you 10 bucks for that.
Come on, people. I'd 100% give 10 for that. Not us, but people get hyped for the Kentucky Derby. I mean, that's a whole lot of hype for something that's over really, really fast. I mean, you know.
Stupidest event in sport. I would watch 10 Tyreek versus Noah races before I watched a Kentucky Derby. It just is what it is. Anyway.
Who would you root for?
The answer is, in this race?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know the answer, and here's why. I do like Tyreek. I like Cheetah. He entertains me. I also not like Noah Lyles. And here's the thing, Lonzo. I don't know if you know this or not. You'll like Noah Lyles after this, too. Big anime guy, to the point that while he was in Paris, he was describing his different races and his story by comparing them to famous anime arcs from his favorite anime cartoons.
Yeah, I did know that. Here's the other thing, though. Who's it hurt more? It hurts Noah Lyles more if he loses. It doesn't hurt Tyreek Hill if he loses. Because then, you lost to the fastest man alive right now.
I mean, yes, but also no, because at the end of the day, Noah Lyles will finish that race and then just put on his gold medal that he won for beating the world's best at that. I'll tell you what would make it interesting. It would make it interesting in terms of down the line, do we start seeing NFL players start to maybe pick up a second career as Olympians, right? Like, if Tyreek Hill beats now, let's keep in mind that a 50-yard dash is not 50 meters. It's not the same race, okay? 50 yards is, in fact, I'm going to do the exact calculation. 50 yards is 45.72 meters. So a 50-yard dash is more than 10 meters fewer than Noah Lyles won the 100 meter dash. And I'm little brother popped up, but Tyreek wins a 50. Lyles was last at 50 meters. That is the interesting thing that makes this the race.
Yeah, but last at 50 meters in the Olympics could still be faster than Tyreek Hill.
It very much could be. Last at 50 meters for Noah Lyles. He's a guy that wins. Welcome to post-Olympics coverage. Noah Lyles is a guy who wins in the last 20 meters. He does not win in the first 50. He doesn't win in the first 70. He wins in the last 20 meters. He has that last kick, that stamina that takes him to the end. He wins in the last 20 meters. So a 50-yard, I'll tell you what I would want. Run both races. Run a 50-yard dash and run a 100-meter race, right? We did the 100-meter. 100-meter is effectively a football field and one end zone, right? It was like 110 point something. 100-meter race is from the goal line through the end zone on the opposite side, all right? Run both races. Give both guys one race in their element, and let's see who the better guy is. If Tyreek beats Noah Lyles in the 50-yard dash by, you know, a half a leg, but then Noah Lyles cooks him by a full second in the 100-meter dash, you know, I think we're pretty conclusive about who the faster guy is there. But again, you know, there's the discussions about length of the race and surface that they're racing it on. I don't think this is ever going to happen. I hope it does, because this is my favorite bleep talking between two athletes thing that is happening right now. And I'm not going to lie. I'd be lying to tell you I'm not kind of enjoying the beef back and forth a little bit. It's kind of fun to me. All right, we got to run to a break. We'll come back here in a minute. Got a few more NFL stories we need to run through as the show progresses. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you. We roll on next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Final segment of the Rob Brown Show here on a Tuesday afternoon. Glad to have you, Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you. If you did not hear us talking about earlier as we run through some NFL headlines to wrap up the show today, the NFL has at least had a conversation that I speculated a couple of weeks ago that they would have by the end of the season. Apparently, it has come up in the preseason. And that conversation is about moving the touchback line ahead to the 35-yard line. The touchback currently under the new kickoff rules is taking at the 30-yard line. I brought this up after the Hall of Fame game. And the point that I made was, it looks to me, or it looked to me at the time, and I was pretty close, that kickoffs would, on average, end up being somewhere around the 27-yard line on kickoffs that were returned under the new kickoff format. Pardon me. I was pretty close. I was pretty close in that the actual average through two full weeks of NFL preseason football is the 28.3-yard line. Atlanta Falcons fans everywhere shudder at those numbers. The 28.3-yard line is where kickoffs are, on average, being returned to right now under the current rules. My speculation was the 27, and I said, if that is the case, one of two things is going to happen. Either, number one, the kickoff, the touchback line will be moved from the 30-yard line, pardon me, to the 35-yard line before the season starts. Or, number two, teams are going to kick a lot of touchbacks this year, and it looks like it's going to be the latter. The NFL's competition committee initially proposed a touchback line of the 35. The NFL owners, while agreeing to the new kickoff rules, did push back on the touchback line and said that they wanted it at the 30, not the 35. Well, I'm very bad at math, but I have done the math on that. From the 28.3 to the 25 is effectively, no, exactly 1.7 yards of difference. So not quite two full yards. So if you're an NFL coach lining your team up for a kickoff and you've got a kicker who is capable of putting the ball through the back of the end zone. And by the way, you college football fans, take notice of this, because this kickoff is coming to college football. It's not going to be this year, obviously. It may not be next year, but eventually this kickoff format will come to college ball. And whatever the NFL decides to do here is what the college ranks will be doing probably I could see it being next year, but probably 2 years from now. So the NFL proposed a 35-yard touchback. The owner said 30. We are now 2 weeks through the regular season. The average returned kickoff has come out to the 28.3-yard line. With that being said, if you are a head coach lining up your kickoff team and you know that the average kick comes back out to the 28.3, there's no reason not to kick a touchback. There's no reason not to tell your kicker, send this thing into another zip code. Send this thing like you hate it into low Earth orbit, right? So I think that while the concept that was originated with this new kickoff rule is good, that concept, of course, being more kickoff returns done in a safer way, while I think that is a good thing, ultimately, I also think that you've got to do it in a way that justifies teams returning the kick. They have done that. I think you've got to do it in a way that justifies the kicking team taking the chance. By moving it out to the 35, you have done both. You have basically said, hey, return team, you have got to get 7 yards more than the average return to justify not returning the football, right? or to the kicking team, hey, you've got to risk 7 full yards to justify landing the kickoff in the landing zone and not putting it through the back of the end zone, or not putting it into the end zone, allowing it to spike. The NFL said yesterday that while the conversation has gone on about moving the kickoff to the touchback to the 35-yard line, it will not happen this year. And I get it. The NFL is an organization that is very slow to change its rules. They are very slow. This kickoff concept has been in conversation for a couple of years now. It is an organization that is very slow to change the rules, very slow to make changes to the game without really testing it. That is part of the reason that they undertook the experiment of working with the UFL, was to actually have a place to test these rule changes and find out, do they make the game better or worse or not change it at all? Well, they've now got some data, some metrics, but as Lonzo pointed out earlier in the radio broadcast, teams are in the preseason experimenting with everything. That also includes kickoffs. I know that there are at least a couple of kickers who are more than capable of sending the ball out of the back of the end zone that are electing not to do so, so that the kickoff coverage team can get some practice, right? Because there are going to be some kick returners that are still going to bring the thing out of the end zone because they're Tyreek Hill fast, right? So this is an opportunity to give your kickoff coverage unit an opportunity to practice. When we get to the regular season, if you are a head coach, I'm having my guy kick it out of the back of the end zone every time. I will surrender 1.7 yards of difference from the average return place to the touchback line. I will surrender 1.7 yards of difference to make sure that I never give up a kickoff return that flips the field, that I never get Devin Hester'd back the other way in a way that puts extra emphasis on my defense. I am willing to make that change. And once we get through probably 3 weeks of the NFL where every kickoff is a touchback, that change is coming.
All right, now it's time to ask Rob what the X is going on. The first thing that's Xing is Star Wars.
Star Wars is Xing because of the new video game that we got some trailer footage from, I'm assuming. No, it is trending because may the August be 20th, you. I don't know. I got no idea.
Wow, that last one was great. I like that. No, The Acolyte has been canceled.
The Acolyte has been canceled. All right, so the show started good. It really meddled out in the middle. It picked back up at the very end, but I also know that there have been some controversies. Yeah, that's a dog. There have also been some controversies regarding the main actress, I forget her name, getting into some, let's say, Twitter debates with people that have not exactly reflected wonderfully upon Star Wars and Disney, and I imagine that played into the conversation.
Well, I think a lot of things played in, including retcons and the diminishing of Anakin Skywalker. All right, the next thing that is Xing is Jack Perry.
Okay, I'm glad you said that. Not Jack Perry, the last thing, because I do have another question for you. The showrunner for House of the Dragon, which you don't need to know anything about Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon for this, but it's a conversation. The showrunner for House of the Dragon the other day, because a lot of people are very upset with where season 2 went with that show. It got real stupid at the very end. She said she was a good hire to be a showrunner and writer and director for the show because, Lonzo, She had never read the books or watched the TV show, so she brought a fresh set of eyes. Have we gotten to the point that companies are going to start to realize that bringing in people who don't love the source material and letting them write their own stories in the universe is a real good way to bleep it all up?
For sure, especially when it comes to Star Wars, because they know what they've had a couple good hires. I mean, Dave Filoni knows all the everything about Star Wars. And Jon Favreau, too. So there are two hires that were really good, and then they went and hired someone that was the exact opposite of that. So, all right, Jack Perry is exiting because there's a video out there where he reforges his championship belt, and it's really cool. You need to check it out.
It is. I saw it yesterday. It is pretty dope.
Yes, I mean, liquid. I mean,
I'm not a Jack Perry fan.
It's not him the entire time, I don't believe, actually doing the smelting and stuff because it cuts away. But still, it's really cool. All right.
I'm not a Jack Perry fan. He bores me. He doesn't do anything for me. But that actually was a really cool way to kind of show the willingness to commit sacrilege. I dig it.
Yeah. All right. The next thing that's X-ing is Pat McAfee.
Pat McAfee X-ing because last night on Raw, Pat McAfee was being exceptionally Pat McAfee-ish, and people find it hilarious.
Okay, last night was his last Raw until January, so...
That's right, Game Day firing up this weekend, and he leaves Raw when Game Day rolls around, which, by the way, I completely and totally understand and support that decision. But it's also kind of a bummer because I think at this point we're all pretty comfortable saying Pat McAfee's good at the wrestling stuff.
Yeah, they had a package, and by the way, they've already announced he'll be back in January when Raw moves to Netflix.
Checks out, and that's a good reboot spot for everybody, right? Like you're gonna get Pat McAfee's commentary is definitely going to fit in most excellently when they move over to Netflix, for sure. All right, that's it. That's the show for us, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here. Make sure you stick around. Coming up later, we got Wire to Wire with Cole Bryson and Diesel at 3 p.m. We will be back tomorrow to do it all over again, but better on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.